All right, everybody, we are in a series right now. What is love? What is love? And I tell people in our church, questions are not a bad thing. Sometimes in church, especially, we get frowned upon if we ask questions, or we get inquisitive, and it kind of gets frowned upon if we don't ask those questions. But I'm actually trying to encourage us to be a church. It's okay to ask questions. The problem comes in on where we go to get our answers. And so let's ask some good questions and go to the Bible for our answers on this. So our question for this sermon series is, what is love? And we're exploring, what does the Bible tell us about love? And so we're going to go jump through a couple verses in Scripture today and try to explore, what has maybe religion told us, what has society maybe told us, but also what does the Bible tell us, what is love? Because the idea we have is the Bible tells us that we are the creation of God. And as the creator, he actually gets to define things to his creation. As the creation, as human beings, we don't get to go back to God and redefine what he's already created. And one of those things is love. That has already been described. That's already been told. That's from the creator to the creation, defining what love is. And so let's jump in and look at 1 Corinthians 13. 1 Corinthians 13, starting in verse 4, says, love is patient and kind. Love is not jealous or boastful or proud or rude. It does not demand its own way. It is not irritable, and it keeps no record of being wronged. It does not rejoice about injustice, but rejoices whenever the truth wins out. Love never gives up, never loses faith, is always hopeful, and endures through every circumstance. And you may have heard these verses before, especially at a wedding. These are like the verses you break out at a wedding, and I'm pretty sure the wedding doesn't count if you don't read these verses. And so these are the verses, but it's written, actually, Paul's telling the church at Corinth, what does love look like, especially when it comes to Christians interacting inside of a church? Like, that is at its fundamental core, really what love is going to be, is if Christians can't even operate in love between each other, how could we ever have a hope of going and interacting with anyone out in society, showing them what love is, if we can't even show it to each other? And so Paul is writing, here is the foundation, here is the core, here is the very elementary basics of what love looks like. And he tells them point blank, here's what love is, and here's what love is not. And he clearly outlines it. He says point blank, love is patient and it is kind. And then he also says what it's not. It's not proud. It's not boastful. It's not rude. It's not jealous. It does not demand its own way. And we read those verses and all of us as humans, we look around and say, that's never me. I'm never proud in any moments. I'm never boastful. I certainly would never demand my own way, because we've evolved since this was written 2,000 something years ago. But the reality is, no, we haven't. This is still so true for us today as humans. As humans, we still struggle with demanding our own way. We still struggle with being proud. We still struggle with being irritable. These are things we face every day. And Paul says that's not love in its purest form. That's not love that's defined by God. That's our human way of interacting. That's human things we've introduced to love. But love, according to God, is actually patient. It's actually kind. It's not demanding of its own way. It endures through every circumstance. It never loses hope. And so as we read these, we start to see what love looks like at its core, but also what it's not at its core. And it's helping us maybe redefine things according to what God says. Because I don't know if you've heard this term thrown around, but society is telling us that love looks like tolerance. Love looks like tolerance. And I think if you read some of these verses, maybe you go, maybe God's also saying love is tolerance. But I think we need to dig more into Scripture. We need to get a good basis of what Scripture's telling us. And so we just read from the New Testament. I think we should go to the Old Testament, because I believe we should read the Bible, Genesis to Revelation. Reading the Bible in its full context will always give us the best interpretation. And so if you are looking to read the Bible, I would say read through the whole thing. It's going to give you the best way to interpret Scripture. So Psalm 103 starts in verse 7 here. It says, he revealed his character to Moses and his deeds to the people of Israel. The Lord is compassionate and merciful, slow to get angry, and filled with unfailing love. He will not constantly accuse us, nor remain angry forever. He did not punish us for all our sins. He does not deal harshly with us as we deserve. For his unfailing love toward those who fear him is as great as the height of the heavens above the earth. He's removed our sins as far from us as the east is from the west. That's incredible, these verses, because I grew up in a church background. I went to church a lot growing up, and one of the things that got instilled in me, not that I was even necessarily taught this, but it was just something that was there growing up around religion and people and things like that. It wasn't even pushed on me. I think it was just something I kind of put into my life, was this idea that God was always really angry with me. This idea that God was always upset with me, that every sin I committed, God was just ready to just smite me, ready with 7 million lightning bolts to just wipe me off the planet. And maybe that's how you live your life right now. You always feel like you're one sin away from God just being so angry, so vindictive towards you, that he's ready just to wipe you off the face of the planet. He just can't take you anymore. And this idea that maybe God is even tolerant, or maybe is it patient, almost seems foreign to us. It seems like this idea that can't quite be right because of how we viewed things, but the Bible's telling us point blank, Old Testament, New Testament, love is patient, love is kind. That's how God, the creator of humans, is defining love to us. Man, it says this, that he says he does not deal with us as harshly as we deserve. I mean, that's a verse that hits so close to my heart. It pierces down to my soul, because I look at the story of my life. I spent years of my life living for myself. I was selfish. I was prideful. I was lustful. I looked after my own self. And I look back at my story and my life, and my testimony is this, that God did not deal with me as harshly as I deserved. The God I know now, after following him, pursuing him, accepting what the Bible teaches, is finding God who is far more patient than I originally thought, far more kind than I originally thought, far more full of unfailing love than I thought. And so as we look into his love, patience, his love, tolerance, we have a lot of these ideas of love that society and religion and people, our pastors and teachers, and everybody's got this opinion of what love really is. But when we read through scripture, we're seeing that maybe God's been made out to be an image that's not biblical. And so as we look here, we need to define what tolerance is, because that's what society tells us love looks like. We need to maybe look into the idea that some of us wrestle with, that God's not very patient. He's pretty upset with us all the time. He's ready just to smite us off the planet. We need to look into these ideas. But in order to explore that, especially the idea that God is tolerant, our tolerance is really what love looks like, we have to understand where that came from. And that actually was birthed back when humans decided we're going to go after absolute truth. We're going to go after absolute truth. This happened years ago, but humans began to try to throw out the idea of absolute truth. Society began pursuing the idea that absolute truth didn't exist. The reason humans went after absolute truth is because if you want to decide what you want to describe as love, or you want to describe how you want to live your life, if you want to be able to make all of your own choices, there can't be an absolute truth, because it means one of us would be wrong. There's something outside of us that got to define what truth was. But if we can throw out absolute truth, we can now introduce the idea of tolerance. And tolerance is really designed at its core to be something where if you line up five human beings and you say all five of you can describe what love is, all five of you get to decide what love looks like, all five of you get to decide what truth is going to be, we're good, and we'll be tolerant of each other. And it sounded nice on paper, but the way that played out was those five people decided they couldn't agree what truth was. they had disagreements over what love was, and they ended up going at each other's throats because it became offensive when someone else told us we were wrong. And so really, tolerance was the first thing birthed in the conversation of trying to define love. It was actually trying to get rid of absolute truth. And once we got rid of absolute truth, we could introduce tolerance. And what tolerance really became was this idea that all of us as humans get to describe what is true, seek our own truth, seek our own wisdom, seek our own plans, lift up our own emotions, lift up our own desires. You get to create your own path. The hurdle with that is if there is a creator, that's rebellion. Trying to make up our own way as we go as the creation is rebellion. It's outside the order of how things were designed and created. And sometimes we think we can get away with it because we're told God's patient. He doesn't deal with us as harshly as we deserve. But really what ends up happening is when we seek our own truth and we seek our own ways, the reason we really like that is that the core of it is we want to make the world in our own image. It's the flaw of our sinful natures. We want to take what was made in the image of God and make it into our own image as the creation. You and I really want to, at our core, build our own kingdom, make our own rules, make our own ways. We're the king of our land or the queen of the kingdom, and we build our own systems and societies of what we want this world and life to look like. But the Bible tells us love's kind and patient. Love doesn't demand its own way. And so when you and I as humans seek to build our own kingdom, we're going against what 1 Corinthians 13 teaches. We're going against what Psalm 103 teaches, that God's actually the one who's full of the unfailing love. And what's really happened in society is we look to build our own kingdoms, we look to decide what truth is, we get to decide what love is, and we're all disagreeing. And so what we've come to now is we're to the point as humans that when we decide what truth is, when we decide what love looks like, and somebody disagrees, it's so offensive to us. You're going against my kingdom and what I'm building. And what tolerance has really turned into is the idea that I need to be celebrated for my choices because they're that good. I need to be celebrated for my emotional choices because I can't be wrong. I need to be celebrated for my emotional desires because I couldn't be wrong. I'm the king of my kingdom. I'm the queen of my kingdom. And so tolerance really isn't the idea of acceptance at all. It's a thinly veiled attempt at narcissism now. Tolerance is a thinly veiled word for narcissism now. The idea that we as humans, we need to be celebrated for our choices. We are the ones who are defining what love and truth looks like, regardless of what a creator said. And so as we look at 1 Corinthians 13, that collides up against this idea so harshly because 1 Corinthians tells us in chapter 13, love does not demand its own way. The idea that you and I need to be celebrated for our choices, to be proud about our choices, to be boastful about our choices, to be jealous if something goes wrong, it's all flying in the face of what the Bible teaches. And the reality is, as humans, the truth is every human being, whether you're in society or religion or church, it does not matter. Every human being seeks to be patient with what makes us comfortable. And we're intolerant toward the things that make us uncomfortable. That's the reality for every human being that is on this planet, is we are people who are patient with what makes us comfortable, and we're intolerant toward the things that make us uncomfortable. It's why society and church have been waging war, is because we don't line up with what we're patient with and intolerant towards. If you looked at people, if you could speak right now, if you're living in society and you could say, I see so clearly the hypocrisy in religion. I see so clearly the hypocrisy in religion. People over there, they're patient with gossip, but they're intolerant toward homosexuality. I see them being impatient with things like transgender ideas, but I see them being so patient when it comes to gluttony. I see them being so patient with people like Donald Trump, but I see them being so intolerant towards Democrats. And then you look inside the church and they look into society and they see the hypocrisy inside of society. They look inside and they see people who are really patient with things like homosexuality or transgender ideas or maybe with greed because that's the American dream. We'll just relabel it somehow. But we turn a blind eye towards gossip and gluttony. We turn a blind eye to our own pride that can be boastful or proud or demanding of our own way. Because the reality as humans is our tendency is always to be patient with what makes us comfortable and intolerant toward what makes us uncomfortable. But the Bible is teaching us a different way than what we know as humans. God is revealing his character, that it's a different way than what we know as humans. He's looking at the world, his creation, and saying, I will describe to you what pure love looks like. And it's patient and it's kind. It's not demanding of its own way. It endures through every circumstance. It is always hopeful. We're told that God's character is full of unfailing love, that he doesn't deal with us as harshly as we deserve. And as we read these verses, we maybe go, maybe God is tolerant of sin. That's an idea that's being pushed out there, that God is tolerant of sin, but nowhere in there did God ever say he's tolerant with sin. It says in there he's patient, he's kind, he doesn't deal with us as harshly as he deserves, as we deserve, but nowhere in there is he saying he's all of a sudden become tolerant with sin. The idea that God somewhere along the line became tolerant with sin is actually so offensive to what Jesus did on the cross. The idea that Jesus would leave heaven, come down to earth, and be crucified for living a perfect life, to pay the penalty of sin for you and for me and every other human being, and then for God to actually go, actually, I'm going to become tolerant towards sin now, would make everything Jesus did useless, pointless. And that's not the case. All of Scripture is building to this point where there is someone who comes to redeem us in our brokenness, and his name is Jesus. The Bible is building to this point of Jesus coming and making a way for us to come into relationship with the God who is patient and kind and full of unfailing love. And he doesn't give us what we deserve and doesn't deal with us as harshly as we deserve. But it's not because he became tolerant of sin. It's because his character of love, of wanting his creation to come into relationship with him. God looks down at creation, and I was looking this up for this message, and there's almost 8 billion people on the planet right now. 8 billion people on the planet around right now. And you could take all 8 billion people on this planet, gather us together, and you could take every possession all 8 billion people have, put it in front of all the creation. We could offer it to God, and he would look at everything we own and have and go, I don't need any of it. The creator of the universe could look at all 8 billion people bringing every prideful possession and thing we cherish in this world come together, and he would look it all over and say, I don't need any of it. I don't need any of it. That car you love, he doesn't need. That house you're so proud of, he doesn't need. That bank account that makes you feel comfortable, he doesn't need. He would look at that and say, humans, you have nothing I need. But while I have you here, God invites all 8 billion people to come into a relationship with him. Into a relationship with him as the creator, even though we cherish our things and are people and things that we want to be patient with because it's what makes us comfortable. Even though we're people who are intolerant towards the things that make us uncomfortable, and God looks at all of our brokenness and all of our sin, And he doesn't deal with us as harshly as we deserve, because he turns around to that creation, his creation, and invites us into relationship with him because of what Jesus did on the cross. So God's not along the way. Nowhere has he become tolerant with sin. But he's proven his character time and time again, being patient with us, giving us opportunities to repent and turn from our ways, giving us an opportunity to not be stuck in sin. There's a hope for every human on this planet right now that's different than what their flesh and emotions and desires tell them. It's a relationship with Jesus. There's an opportunity to come into relationship with the creator of the universe, who says, my character is full of unfailing love. I can take your sins and wipe them as far as the east is from the west. He doesn't look at any human being and think they're too far gone. I can't do anything in their life. He looks at every human being and offers an opportunity for a different life. That's relationship with him. And I think about the end of 1 Corinthians 13, where it says, love never gives up. It never loses faith, is always hopeful, and endures through every circumstance. And that describes the character of God. That describes the character of God. Someone who proves love never gives up. Love never gives up. I can testify about my own life that the love of God did not give up on my life, and God did not deal with me as harshly as I deserved. I look at the character of God that never loses faith. God never lost faith in himself. Never lost faith in himself to bring a broken creation back into relationship with him if they're willing to repent. He made a way for that. I look at God who's always hopeful. Nowhere in Scripture does God get described as sitting on his throne going, that was my best effort. That was my last hope. I don't have anything else. God's never up on the throne losing hope, because he knows his character and his ability to work. God never looks down and says, I give up. He continually works to redeem creation. Even in some of our brokenness, he looks to change things, to rearrange things, to keep working. And those who are willing to repent and change and turn from their ways get to experience his love and grace in a powerful way. And as we look to close out, I want to encourage you with that. I want to encourage you that today, it doesn't matter your sins or your mistakes. What matters is you have an opportunity to come into relationship with a God who has unfailing love in his character, who looks at your life and doesn't define you by your sins or mistakes, but defines you as a creation who has an opportunity to come into relationship with him and turn from your ways. He's not going to hold those things against you if you're willing to repent. We have an opportunity to step into relationship with God. But the reality is, you and I as humans, we want to define what is love. We want to define what truth is. And I want to encourage you to genuinely search your heart today. What are the things that you're being patient with? Is the things the Bible calls us to be patient with? Or are you being patient with things that just make you comfortable? I want to ask you genuinely to search your heart and say, Holy Spirit, come speak to me. Jesus, Lord, come speak to me. What are the things that I'm intolerant of? What are the things that I'm intolerant of? And is that lining up with what the Bible says is love? Because if I can speak just for a moment to people who call themselves Christians, if I can speak just to people who call themselves Christians for just one moment, if we ever want to engage society around us, if we want to engage the world around us, we will never be more effective than if we can live out what the Bible tells us love is. And that it means, no, we can't celebrate sin as much as some people may demand it. No, we can't celebrate sin. We can't become casual towards it. But we have to be able to show what God's character is of being patient as well. Not everyone is going to accept a call to relationship with Jesus. Some people may not accept the call the first time, or the 10th time, or the 100th time, but the 101st time they may. And God's character is love, and that means kind and patient. And we've got to be able to not demand our own way in the world, that if people don't want to follow the Lord, we have to understand that we're told that's going to happen in the Bible. And we can't become proud or boastful or irritable about it. So as we look to engage the world, it's not becoming tolerant towards sin, but it's being people who are patient and kind and putting our hope in the Lord, never losing hope like 1 Corinthians 13, enduring through every circumstance like 1 Corinthians 13 tells us. I look around the world and it's hard because right now society will try to get us to be very casual towards sin. You know, one of the things that I noticed, because I'm a former porn addict, I noticed these things in shows and in movies, how everyone just kind of makes it a laughing matter of looking at pornography. It's just kind of like a funny joke, and we just kind of treat it very casually, and we don't understand or acknowledge how deeply it affects people. It changes how men view women. It changes how people think about relationships. It changes how we view ourselves even. It destroys our self-worth. We were created in the image of God, and it tries to destroy all of that. But society pushes us to try to be casual towards different sins. But that's not what the Bible teaches us. We shouldn't be casual towards sin. God's never become okay with sin, but he's been a God who's been patient and kind towards us. He's not dealt with us as harshly as we deserve. And so as we go and ask the Lord to evaluate our heart and mind and saying, God, what am I patient with? Does that line up with what the Bible teaches? God, am I being intolerant towards things that just make me uncomfortable? But I think as we close out, we should ask the Lord, Lord, won't you please come and speak into my heart, in my mind, in my life, and reveal how do I align my character with what the Bible teaches so that I can walk amongst the world where I don't become celebratory or tolerant towards sin, but I can be someone who amongst the world is kind and patient. Help me to be someone, Lord, who endures through every circumstance. Help me be someone, Lord, who remains hopeful amongst everything that's going on. Help me to be someone, Lord, who never loses faith. Because that is what God reveals his character to be. So I encourage you, as we close this out, spend time asking the Lord to come help align you with what the Bible teaches.